Welcome back to the program and our final installment of the Bun Sports Show before the Thanksgiving holiday gets here. And there's a lot to be thankful for in our lives. There's also a lot to be thankful for in the world of college football. Great entertainment it has been the last couple of weeks. David Sears is usually with us on Friday. And last week, David, we did a really good job picking games. He's with us today because, of course, of the holiday. And this is our final show before the big weekend with the Iron Bowl, LSU, Arkansas, and so many other games. But I just want to go back to last week. You picked North Carolina State over Clemson. What a brilliant upset pick as the Wolfpack trounced the Clemson Tigers. Will you be opening up a betting line shop in Vegas? Is that rumor true?
No, that was just, I thought that line was funny. Clemson was a 7.5-point favorite. The offense they'd been showing all year, I just thought something was fishy about that. So, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then.
Well, everybody's going to be tuning in now and wanting to know what your picks are, so we'll pick a couple of games in a few minutes. But it is that time of the year, and rivalries happen on the last weekend of the season, although some of them have been extended. Conferences that don't have championship games, like the Big 12 next week, you have the Bedlam battle and everything. It happens next week, and of course the Pac-12 has a new championship game, and so does the Big 10. So their season ends now, and the Ohio State-Michigan game for the first time is played on this weekend, so it is interesting. But until the other day, I'd forgotten they were playing. It's not attached to anything in the national scheme of things right now.
I'm definitely looking forward to the Big Ten, getting to see them actually compete, you know, this late in the season. Normally, they don't even play on Thanksgiving weekend. You got a couple of good games there. Penn State, Wisconsin for the, what is that, the Leaders Division? Or the Legends Division? It's whatever the division they're in. It's for that division. And Texas A&M, usual Thanksgiving night showdown. It should be a pretty good game to watch. I think it'll end up starting off all right and then being a blowout for Texas A&M. But I'm looking forward to a great weekend of college football. And, of course, the two big games in the state, the Iron Bowl and that LSU-Arkansas showdown.
Yeah, those are going to be great. And just to follow what you were saying, the lineup for the weekend, Iowa plays at Nebraska on Friday. That's the first really interesting game of the day. That one is on ABC at 11 o'clock Central. Of course, number 3, Arkansas, is at number 1, LSU, on CBS. That one's at 1:30 on Friday afternoon, the Friday after Thanksgiving. Boston College at Miami that afternoon, and then after that it tapers off as far as interest goes. A couple of games in the Big East and the Pac-12. Leading in, though, to Saturday, and this is how it starts Saturday. You got Iowa State playing at number 9, Oklahoma, number 13, Georgia, at number 23, Georgia Tech, Michigan State, Northwestern, and of course the Iron Bowl that afternoon. SEC-wise, you have Tennessee, Kentucky, you do have the Egg Bowl, you have Clemson, South Carolina that night, as well as Florida, Florida State, so there are some good games on, but I think everybody is concerned about those two afternoon games on CBS. And let's start with LSU and Arkansas. This game, of course, Friday afternoon. Arkansas has shown that they can put up some points lately. LSU, of course, we know how good they are. Undefeated on the year. If they win out, they'll assuredly be in the BCS championship game. So how do you break this game down?
Right now, I think the biggest matchup is strength versus strength. Arkansas's offense against LSU's defense. Arkansas's defense has definitely come on of late, but, I mean, look, they've been Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss. Basically, they face three pretty weak teams to make their defense get their confidence. And LSU's offense really hasn't done much. They've done enough, and they mainly relied on their defense to set them up. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to see that Arkansas receiving corps versus the secondary of LSU, and I think that if Arkansas is able to push LSU into a scoring battle, that will favor Arkansas.
Of course, we know how good Jarius Wright is. He's at the top of the receiving statistics in the national categories as well as the conference. But I'm not so sure that Joe Adams, who is also a receiver for Arkansas, isn't the best special teams player in the country, and he can electrify the game when he returns a punt, as we saw a couple of weeks ago against Tennessee when he took one back. I think that could be a key for Arkansas that nobody really wants to think about. Everybody talks about LSU's defense against Arkansas's offense. That's correct. Arkansas's defense against LSU's offense. Great matchup there. But I think the special teams battle could end up hurting LSU.
LSU's punter is going to have to do the difficult job of making sure he either kicks it away from Adams or gets it high enough to get enough hang time to have him surround and make him fair catch it.
Make sure he doesn't taunt, too.
Yeah.
When he runs the fake punt.
Yeah. When he runs the fake punt and he scores a touchdown, don't talk the Arkansas players, but I think this game will definitely be the best one of the weekend and the most competitive one of the weekend.
Yeah. We haven't seen much from Les Miles this year as far as his usual antics with the hat, pulling out all the trick plays, because they haven't had to. But if this game gets close, or if Arkansas has a lead in the second half, do you think Les Miles will revert back to his old self and the crazy fake field goal flips or going for it on fourth down 18 times in a row against Florida? What do you think we might see from him this weekend?
There is no telling with Les Miles. He has been very un-Les-like this year. So I just want to see what happens when he gets his back against the wall. Will he be able to pull out one of those crazy plays? Because it's kind of a disappointment to me, actually, because I enjoy seeing crazy Les.
I know.
As good as they've been, the fact that they've never had any crazy moments, because I honestly, when they were lining up for the field goal to win the game against Alabama, I was expecting them to run a fake one. Just run a fake, because Alabama was going to be max block. So I figured they'd run like tight end or crazy flick over the shoulder type pass. I don't think he will. I think he's realized that he's got a good enough team. He doesn't have to resort to trickeration. But if he does it in a close game and pulls that out, the return of the Mad Hatter will be something that will be much, much talked about.
Who wins this game?
I think it'll be LSU merely by the fact that I think they'll be able to keep it a low-scoring game, probably like a 21-14, 21-13 type ball game.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Arkansas, though. I think Arkansas's passing attack will give LSU some fits, and I think there are some areas that LSU might have been slightly overrated in on both offense and defense. And if Jarrett Lee is in the game at all for LSU, something is wrong on their coaching staff, because as we saw against Alabama, in a big game setting, you need to have Jordan Jefferson in there running the option, and LSU could just run the ball every play and probably have success against the Arkansas defense. But if you put Jarrett Lee in there, there will be an interception thrown in the game. I mean, against Alabama, he threw an interception, was out for a little while, came back in the very next play, he played through another interception, so nearly a pick six. So not good news if you have Jarrett Lee in the game for LSU. I think that'll come back to get him, so I think Arkansas will win the game. How about Georgia and Georgia Tech? This is an interesting one. Georgia, of course, is going to the SEC Championship. They're number 13 in the BCS. If they could get a win here, that could boost them even higher in the rankings. But something tells me they're going to be overlooking the Rambling Wreck. I think I'm going to go with Georgia Tech. Who do you think wins this game?
I'm going to have to agree with you, because I think Georgia may suffer from the same syndrome that Clemson did last weekend. Clemson had already clinched the division. They didn't really have anything to play for. Then Oklahoma State loses, so you figure, hey, they've got some extra motivation that if they can win out and then beat Virginia Tech a second time, that may be enough to get them in the title talk. Now, they have nothing to play for. I think Georgia, we've seen this under Rich before, they become a very lackadaisical team and they have nothing really to play for. I think Georgia Tech running that triple option in Atlanta will be able to beat the Georgia Bulldogs.
How about Tennessee and Kentucky? This one is a traditional year-end game in the SEC. It's played at Kentucky. You know, I think the Cats are going to keep Tennessee from becoming bowl eligible, because I think Kentucky's turned it around. I think Tennessee way over-celebrated that win last week against Vanderbilt with all the antics after the game. Derek Dooley talking about how Tennessee is superior to Vanderbilt.
They always kick the bleep out of Vanderbilt. I mean, that's Tennessee. He mixed up the wrong team. It's Tennessee always kicks the bleep out of Kentucky.
That's right.
What, it's 28 years now?
Yeah, almost. Something like that.
So I don't think Kentucky, as bad as they've been this year, gets it done. They'll play them tough, but I think Tennessee has just enough offensive weaponry to score, so they'll be able to win. I think this game will be ugly. I think it'll be like a 14-10 type ball game.
After all that last weekend, it's going to be really embarrassing for Dooley if they were to drop this game and end this streak. I think a lot of fans would be on his case then, even more so if they lost to Vanderbilt. How about Clemson at South Carolina? Two top 17 teams. Clemson, of course, as you predicted last week, dropped the game to North Carolina State. Had they not done that, this could be the game of the week as far as Saturday goes, but they did, and therefore they're a two-loss team. South Carolina's a two-loss team. They're both playing to get to 10 wins. I think Steve Spurrier's squad can do it at home.
I like Steve Spurrier's squad, too. I just think Clemson took a blow to their confidence last week. I don't think Sammy Watkins is back up to 100% yet, and you just don't realize how much of their offense he really was until he goes down. I think we found out that it was Sammy Watkins doing a little bit more than him.
Florida State used to be a game that a lot of people care about. now they're struggling for bowl eligibility. Both of them are. This one's in Gainesville, and for that reason, I'm taking the Gators. But last year, Florida State really destroyed them in kind of a revenge game after the years Florida had put it on them under Urban Meyer. 31-7, I believe, was the final score last year. 31-6, one or the other. I think this year it's a different story, and I think Florida gets them back. And these two teams are just not at the level they used to be.
They were both predicted to have pretty decent seasons. That's the dark horse national title contender.
Yeah,
they've fallen. I like Florida, too. I just think it's in the swamp. Muschamp's got a little bit of mojo going. I like the way Florida plays defense. That offense still questions me. And their defense had a lot of trouble last week with Furman, giving up 32 points, but they're able to come back and win 54-32. So I think in the long haul, this is good for Florida, and I think Florida will beat FSU and go on to a pretty decent bowl.
Before we get to the Iron Bowl, last week we talked about the upsets, and other than the obvious, which is LSU, Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, which are two big games with a lot of implications on the BCS, where else do you think some chaos could ensue this weekend and top teams falling that shouldn't get beat like we saw last week?
I think you need to look at Charlottesville, Virginia. Virginia is playing some really good football right now. Big win last week over FSU, first time they've ever won in Tallahassee. I think they've got enough going for them that they could beat Virginia Tech in Charlottesville. So I like Virginia over Virginia Tech this week as the upset of the week.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick because Virginia has been playing above their heads, as we saw last weekend with their victory over Florida State. And Virginia Tech has the least impressive resume of any one-loss team. Now, I understand why they are number 5 in the BCS. I don't necessarily agree that they should be behind Oklahoma State, because if you look at the Oklahoma State, Stanford, and Virginia Tech, this is a whole other diatribe of mine, but if you look at Oklahoma State, Stanford, and Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State's loss is the least impressive of all of them. So I don't understand why they're behind Oklahoma State. But I agree with you in the fact that Virginia Tech is overrated right now because they haven't played anybody. So that could get interesting. Well, how about the Iron Bowl? It is upon us, number 2 Alabama at number 24 Auburn, almost the exact same rankings and situation as it was 2 years ago when Alabama went in there and escaped by 5, 26-21 with the last second touchdown. Do we see any of that this year, or is this Alabama team better and this Auburn team worse, and it's just a one-sided contest from the get-go, considering what happened last year to Alabama?
With Ted Roof, he knows how to shut down elite running backs, and that is put 10 in the box and make the quarterback beat you. A.J. McCarron really hasn't shown this year, except for a couple of drives against Tennessee, that he can throw the ball accurately and well. I would not be surprised to see Auburn come out, just put 8 in the box, play man coverage. I think Alabama can try their best to spread them out with wide receivers and make them respect the passing game. I do expect them to eventually wear down Auburn and have a big running day, but I think this game will be not as big a blowout as Bama fans want, but I think Alabama in the end will be able to blow them out by, I think the spread was 20.5. I think they'll cover. I think it'll be like 31-10, though. I don't think it'll be one of those 42-3 or 45-10 type games that we saw. I think Alabama has potential with Clint Mosley starts throwing a lot of interceptions and Auburn turns the ball over, but I expect to see Auburn pull out every trick play in the book. I'm expecting Alabama's defense to be prepared to see all these trick plays that you know they're going to have coming. That NASCAR formation they like. I mean, they had to pull out a trick play last week against Stanford, trying to do something there to get their offense going.
Right.
But I really just think we'll see a pretty awesome display of defense by Alabama. And I would not be surprised if they were able to keep them in single digits.
I tend to agree with you that Alabama will win by a comfortable margin. I just think it's too perfect for the upset to happen, especially with all that we had last week. And Auburn, I don't think, is the same as they were a couple of years ago. They did have some seniority on that team, some upperclassmen who knew how to find ways to be competitive in games. I don't think they have that this year, and they certainly haven't shown it against the big dogs, namely Georgia and LSU, no pun intended there. But I do think, though, it is at home, and Auburn plays a little differently at home, so that could be a factor that could make this one interesting, at least for a half. But I think at the end of the day, Alabama will get an impressive win and move on to the BCS. Now, final line of conversation is on the BCS. What happens after this weekend? We'll just, for the sake of argument, assume Alabama beats Auburn. LSU, Arkansas, for Alabama's sake, who needs to win that game more? Who are you pulling for?
For Alabama's health, I really think LSU wins. because that way Alabama won't have to play that extra game. They'll be able to rest up everybody, get Eddie Lacy's foot healthier, rest that offensive line that's taken quite a beating, rest some of those defensive players like Josh Chapman and C.J. Mosley's elbow and get those a little bit better, and just gear up for a shot down in New Orleans. But if Arkansas were to win, it'd be interesting to see where the BCS fell.
Yeah.
How far would LSU fall?
If at all.
Would they be in front of Arkansas but behind Alabama? And if they're behind Alabama, that means they'd, just one spot behind, they'd still go to the SEC championship game with the way the BCS.
As long as they were the top
SEC
two.
Tiebreakers.
Right.
Yes. It's within five spots of each other. If Alabama goes to one, LSU falls to two, LSU would still go to the SEC championship game because they win the head-to-head. They take the top two. But it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. And there's no telling. The series between Arkansas and LSU recently has been pretty crazy, with Arkansas winning three of the last four, but the biggest margin of victory, eight, and the slimmest of margins of one being their other decisive victory.
I agree with you. It should be great to watch, and this is theater. You know, everybody rails against the BCS, but it sure does give us things to talk about on shows like this throughout the season, so it should be fun. Sears, thank you so much, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you very much, and you have a great Thanksgiving.
Hope everyone out there has a great holiday, a great Black Friday as you watch the LSU-Arkansas game and the other matchups, and, of course, a great Saturday and enjoys Iron Bowl Saturday, and we will be back next week to recap all of the carnage. Have a great weekend.